Some people make the very best of friends, kind, considerate, and the first to come to your aid or defense. Others are wonderful sounding boards, carefully listening and offering words of encouragement when needed. A handful are born leaders, able to instill confidence in others and willing to accept responsibility. Only a select few individuals successfully combine the qualities of all three. For the past year, you have called one of those people your president. Since he completed our family in 1989, I have been fortunate and very proud to call Riley Wade my brother.
It is not, excuse my voice, it is an honor to be here to introduce my grandson, Riley Patchett, who is completing his year as National FFA President. During the year, he has told us about many places he has been and some of his experiences. His grandmother and I have tried not to brag too much, but if somebody mentioned FFA, his grandmother was a big name dropper. Please welcome your retiring National FFA President, Riley Wade Patchett.
Daddy's belt, mama's drapes, standing tall in the backyard shed looking cool in my Superman cape. I told the neighborhood girl, said, hey y'all, watch this. My fate was a broken arm and my reward, one big kiss. When daddy asked me why I did it, I made it.
Do you see this scar? It was a cold, cold day in Alaska. My dad, uncle, cousins, and I, we were on a fishing trip, a men's fishing trip, and a 70-pound halibut. No, he was bigger than that. He nearly bit my finger off, and I swear he almost made me jump into the water with him. You see this scar? Motorcycle accident. No, it wasn't just any old motorcycle. It was at the time a brand new, bright red 2002 Honda CBR 600. It had all the bells and whistles, and this kid was ready to ride. I had just hit 120 miles per hour, and as I made my first turn around the Eiffel Tower, it threw me off and landed right on top of me. No one found me for 3 days. You see this scar? I was in a desert. It was almost 147 degrees, and I was minding my own business, just practicing my karate skill, when out of nowhere, a rattlesnake popped up and bit me in the eye. I mean, it was a ninja. No, really, that's how it happened. I've got all the scars to prove it. When I was younger, I loved showing off my scars and telling scar stories to anyone who would listen. Sometimes, I may or may not have embellished what really happened just to appear braver or more courageous. That halibut? Just a measly paper cut. Red motorcycle? A red mongoose bicycle accident. And the ninja? Might have just been a fender bender. For some reason, scars made me feel like Braveheart or Popeye or the Spartans on 300. It's like with every scar came this badge of courage. They were proof of danger, adventure, and risk. But as I grew older, it wasn't quite as easy to feel so brave. Suddenly, being the hero wasn't quite so simple. Risking it all, standing up for what we believe in, and fighting danger becomes uncommon, unpopular, and not my job. most of the people around us sit back, and it becomes easy to go through the motions thinking that someone else will take control and be brave for us, for our families, and for our nation. Even I do it. We refuse to act in courage, fail to be brave for ourselves, and as a result, aren't able to be brave for those around us. But I've learned along the way that in order to be courageous for others, we must first be courageous for ourselves. For Chance, being courageous meant running for chapter office. For 2 years, Chance sought chapter office of the Sullivan FFA chapter in Illinois. And for 2 years, he faced defeat. Each year at the chapter banquet, he faced rejection as names other than his were called to serve. You can imagine the things going through Chance's mind by this point. You're not good enough. You'll never win. Just give up. This fear set in. We all know the kind of fear I'm talking about. When our knees start shaking, when sweat's dripping down our forehead, when we almost forget to breathe, and we start believing the voices around us. It's that kind of fear that makes it all feel unconquerable. But it's not. When this past spring rolled around, Chance, now a senior, again decided to apply for chapter office. He filled out the application, went through the interview process, and made sure that he was ready for anything that came his way. Finally, the big night had come. The banquet was finally here, and Chance hoped for a different outcome than the 2 years before. After the awards had been given, the brisket had been eaten, and the slideshow had played, the time had come for the announcement of the new chapter officers. Suddenly, Chance felt similar feelings to the years before. And your chapter president is... not Chance. Your vice president is... not Chance. Your secretary is... all of the offices and their officers were called. And suddenly, your chapter parliamentarian is... Chance! Chance went wild! Chance went crazy! His agriculture education instructor told me that it was like Chance was frozen in time. He could not believe that his name had just been called. He couldn't believe it. He sat in his chair for a long time and finally began running to the front of the stage to join the rest of the team. The entire banquet hall was silent. Tears flowed from the faces of everyone in attendance. Everyone there knew that Chance had worked twice as hard as any other candidate. And now his dream had become reality. He was a chapter officer. It was no small feat for Chance. Chance has autism. He has to work really, really hard to memorize, has to focus to learn, and has to concentrate on every task at hand in order to succeed. This past August, I had the opportunity to work with the Sullivan FFA chapter officer team during their chapter officer retreat in Indianapolis. While I was there, it became apparent that Chance had to work hard to achieve his goal. He had to really focus. He had to give it his all. But more importantly, Chance had to face his fears and be courageous. Oh yeah, don't get me wrong. He still had fear, but he applied himself in spite of that fear. Courage, contrary to the popular belief, is not the act of having no fears, but it's the heart to act in spite of those fears. It's doing what we're afraid of doing the most, risking it all, and growing through strength and confidence despite what others tell us. Facing our fears is when we first identify our fears, make those fears fearful of us, accept the opposition, and run towards that adversity full force. We each can choose courage every single day. Caleb, from the Barbers Hill FFA chapter in Texas. chose courage when he simply asked to attend National FFA Convention despite the possibility of being told no. JC of the Woodward FFA chapter in Oklahoma. She chose courage when she participated in the Miss Oklahoma teen pageant despite the possibility of failure. We too can choose similar courage. Let's ask someone to dance, even if they might tell us, no, thank you. Let's try out for that team, even if we don't make it. Let's commit to not running away from our fears, but running at our fears, full force, head on. Once we choose to run towards our fears and live courageously, we can really live a life of no regrets, no I wish I would've's, should've's, or could've's. That's when we really live, and that's when we can really encourage the courage around us. We can really encourage courage. In the second grade, I was that guy. You all know the kids I'm talking about. The ones who have the 68 pack of crayons instead of just the 24 pack. The ones who write their first, middle, and last name on every single paper. And the ones who have a group surrounded by them at all times on recess. That was me. I thought I had life figured out. I was a smooth talker to my second grade lady friends. I had my teacher, Mrs. Nagel, wrapped around my finger, and I had one of the coolest families around. I mean, I really kind of liked my family. Not bad for a second grader. In the evenings after school, I'd play with these sweet Disney action figures on our short shag brown carpet at home. My favorite was Aladdin, or maybe Simba. Sometimes it was more Aladdin than Simba. Sometimes I liked Simba better than Aladdin. I mean, they were both favorites. They were both good. Yeah, I played with Disney toys. I'm okay with it. One evening, while the genie was fighting off bad guys like Jafar and Cruella de Vil, my perfect world was interrupted by what would later become my greatest fear. Story of our lives, right? Just when we think we have life figured out, we're feeling pretty safe, secure, comfortable, and content, it's interrupted, and fear sets in. On September 20th, 1997, I became aware of my greatest fear. As an 8-year-old boy, there's only one thing that could take my mind off those sweet Disney action figures. It was competition with my two older sisters, Amy and Michelle. Now, there were lots of friendly competitions that ran through our household while growing up. Anything from who got shotgun, to who made the best grades at school that day, to who could answer the family telephone. That's right. To me, answering the telephone first was like winning a gold medal every time. Every time it rang, I'd run to the kitchen in hopes of grabbing it first, and then I would typically answer it something like this. Hello, Paget residents here. Thanks for calling. My parents are home, unless you're trying to sell something. I was the one who answered the phone that September day. Hello? Hi, Mr. Paget? Yeah, Mr. Paget. You can call me that if you want. Is this Wade Paget? Dad! I handed the phone off to my dad and darted back to my seat. But before I could even sit down, my dad was speeding off to the hospital and had left my older sister Amy and I in charge of holding down the fort. Later that evening, my grandparents came over to deliver the news that my oldest sister Michelle, who had just moved away from college, passed away in a severe car accident on her way home. It's difficult to comprehend at 8 years old that someone's gone and that you won't ever see them again. I mean, how could this happen? My sister leaving would mean that my family would fall apart, that things would change and that life would be completely different. I would now be one of two Paget children instead of three. I'd be left without a Michelle, a sister. No longer would I wake up past my bedtime and sneak in on her and her friends watching movies in the living room. No longer would I be the first one to wake her up early on Christmas morning. No longer would I utter the word shell and hear a response. That night, I was fearful. That night, I felt the fear. But I'd lay awake and asleep, and I'd cry myself to sleep. I insisted on sleeping in the same room as Amy. But looking back, nearly 15 years later, even with all of the hurt, I can't imagine what my parents were going through. I mean, here they were, two proud parents with a good job, a good home, a good family, when all of a sudden, poof, our lives were changed forever. They worked hard to hold it all together. I mean, I don't know how they did it, but somehow they must have dug really, really deep and prayed a lot. They mustered up enough courage to encourage our courage. They'd lay awake with me at night. They'd talk me to sleep. They smiled even when it hurt. They dragged my family to church. My mom and dad even started a scholarship fund in memory of Michelle that allowed others to courageously pursue an education. My mom and dad were brave for others, for my family, and for me. Soon enough, like a chain reaction, their bravery rubbed off on the lives around them. It rubbed off on me. I wanted to be brave just like them, so I began talking to my friends about the accident, and as a result, began feeling more comfortable at school. Now, don't get me wrong. The scars of my sister's death will always be apparent in my life. I still get really nervous when sharing that story, and I'm still really, really bad at opening up and starting quality relationships with others. But one thing is for certain. The scars on my life have helped me become more brave. The scars on my life have made me want to choose courage every single day because of the courage that was shown to me by my mom and dad, Wade and Christy Padgett. I will choose courage because of them. We too can be encouragers of courage. We too can be encouragers of courage. Remember Chance? He's able to remain courageous because his teammates, Cameron, Bill, Cody, Tyler, Chelsea, Jonathan, and Hillary, are courageous for him and believe in him each day. The New York State line officer showed courage to a terrified family whose farm had been destroyed in flooding and tropical storms by helping take out an old washed-out fence. Mr. and Mrs. James of Indiana showed courage after their daughter had passed away in a severe car accident by establishing a fellowship center on the Indiana FFA Leadership Center. We can encourage courage. When we see someone sitting alone at lunch, we think they might be afraid of making new friends. Sit by them anyway. Start a conversation with them and take interest in their lives. Let's show that person courage. Let's show others courage. Let's stand up for what is right all the time. Make the first move so that others will feel comfortable in following our action. Let's be comfortable in our own courage so that others will seek courage too. Remember when I told you that I was really bad at starting new conversations and opening up to those around me? Still really bad at it. But I'm getting better. Every year for the past several years, I've taken a few moments on September 20th, the same day of my sister's accident, to sit down and write letters to acquaintances or old friends or random people that I've met throughout the year. It's a way for me to honor her life and to face my fears and open up and live courageously. Today, I've placed a few of those letters underneath our seats. Let's take a few moments to check underneath our seats for a letter. Dear friend, although we might not know each other very well, I'm interested in starting a friendship with you. But first, you should know that I'm really bad at opening up to new people, and I'm really, really bad at maintaining quality relationships. Although we may not know each other very well, I'm interested in a few things that you might be interested in as well. We're both members of the greatest youth organization in the world, the FFA. And I'm hoping that you'll write back to me in hopes that we can start a quality friendship. Be brave. Love, Riley. Although there are only a few letters in the audience tonight, I've made it my commitment to face my fears. I've made it my commitment to write back to all of those who write me. My returning mail address can be seen on the envelopes, and my email address can be seen above. Please write to me. I'll write back. I'll respond. We'll develop a quality relationship, and you will help me encourage courage. Just another example of FFA members encouraging courage. So the next time you're afraid, the next time you're sitting there thinking, I can't do this. Life can't go on, and I'm so fearful. Don't be afraid. Live courageously. Face that fear. Do it for yourself. But more importantly, do it for others. Live courageously so that others will be brave like you. Riley, hashtag that's our national president. Things we love, Reba, an even balance of Orange and Ralph Lauren, giving a jacket to Coy, and your ability to melt faces and change lives, including ours. You have and continue to plant seeds of hope in everyone that you meet. You value the unique qualities in each and every person that you come in contact with through your remarkable ability to connect and relate to others. Your strong belief in family and in people is evident in every relationship that you have, whether that be in Woodward, Oklahoma, at OSU with your fellow AGR brothers, go Pokes, FFA members, or our team. All in, love, Tiffany, Landon, James, Shannon, and Wyatt. Ladies and gentlemen, our national FFA president, Riley Padgett. Good love, 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 good love